Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Welcome to a new episode of the Football Ramble. It is Tuesday, the 7th of July. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I'm Vidusha Nahantharaja.
Some are calling it the best game of football has been seen since the lockdown. Some are calling it the worst game of football that's been seen since the lockdown. I'm calling it a delightful 3 points. And again, a Jose Mourinho tactical masterclass. Mm. Friends, what are you seeing it as?
Are we talking about the same game?
Well, I mean, Vish, you were there, mate, so you had to actually get there.
I was.
And come
I
home
was.
From it.
Oh, God, yeah. There's no coming back. I don't think you ever really come back from that. You know when people talk about really traumatic experiences that stay with them and scope the rest of their miserable lives. I think that was my that was my numb yesterday. I'm really excited by this three, by the way.
Oh yeah.
When I heard we were all going to be on together. Obviously, Pete, I did my first show with you. Mm. Kate, this is our first time together. I felt a bit like, you know, when you go to a wedding and you don't really know anyone, and so you look at the table plan and you're like, I'm on the fun table.
Yes.
This is the fun table at a wedding.
Aren't we?
Yes.
I gave everyone some Japanese. Black chewing gum, which has caffeine in it. So
it's going to be even more fun than we anticipated.
Starting to hit me, actually.
And guys, this chewing gum is actually black. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
If anyone anticipated.
It does what really, it says on the tin.
I really did not anticipate.
It's got chrysanthemum in it.
Yeah,
and now we all have.
I'm quite sensitive to caffeine. I don't know if I mentioned.
Oh, God. Oh, no. We're going to have a right wild show. Look, at least we'll put more effort into the show than it seemed that any of those teams seemed to want to do yesterday.
Well, I don't know about that. What about Hugo Lloris, guys?
Yeah.
I have slapped my seat handle. Seat handle?
He was very angry with Son, wasn't he?
That's probably the best place to start, isn't it? Because
yeah. Well, it might be for you, because it sounds like it was news to you.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was. It was and it wasn't. It was because obviously it's quite a dramatic incident between, you know, a team going 1-0 up and you think things are going well and then their two players are fighting as they go through the tunnel. And it wasn't in the sense that I didn't actually see it even though I was there. And it was on the work WhatsApp group. God, what the hell was that? And I was like, oh, what?
It was over very quickly.
Yeah.
I mean,
that was my excuse, yeah.
It was over very quickly.
And it happened quite far away. The pitch is actually quite far from
exactly,
where
you're
Yeah, I'm not in the dugout. So can't be expected to see everything.
Is there a lot of jostling for position? Because as I understand it, in this new normal, you have to sit in some strange places to watch the game if you're allowed to go.
Well, so you don't really sit in strange places at Spurs because the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium is so big. So the press box is quite big. So it's reduced capacity anyway. So everyone just kind of sits where they're sat. I was at the front row and I was really worried because Toby Alderweireld started for the first time. And I thought, if he's a bit rusty here, one of those Diags could go straight for my Bonts. And I was genuinely quite fearful.
Your own Bonts patrol.
Yeah. So every now and then, I mean, I was going to say I was looking up from my laptop, but obviously I missed the most important thing of the match. So well, not enough.
What price to be in that tunnel? I mean, it's 30 grand, but I mean, with that see-through tunnel, but what price to see what happened after? Because obviously when they came back out for the second half, it was all hugs and stuff like that and for the cameras. But I reckon there was some proper arguing going on in that dressing room.
Yeah. So the crux of it seemed to be, I originally thought it was something to do with the fact that Lloris was trying to get rid of the ball before it emanated from Richarlison's chance where Richarlison drags wide as one of the last bits of action of the first half. And I thought the issue was that previously in that phase, Lloris had tried to set Son free,
right,
but Son wasn't running. Now, obviously, that doesn't sound very much like Son, who is kind of in perpetual motion.
Yeah.
And on replays, it seems that Son didn't track back. So when the ball eventually gets its way to Richarlison and goes wide, Lloris' first reaction is to shout at Son, and Son kind of bats him away. And then, yeah, Lloris just runs after him and then just goes from there. Like, I didn't know you could be angry at Son Heung-min.
No.
Even when he broke Andre Gomez's leg at Goodison Park, people were like, oh, but he didn't mean it, though, did he?
But is he a bit of a stealth bad guy?
He's got
quite a few red cards.
He has
boy.
Got, yeah.
Is the guy who served in the armed forces? He's got kind of a bit of a mean streak about him. That's interesting. We'll find a way to unpack that.
I think it's a territorial army, though, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
It's not the proper bad guy.
I mean, it's a territory that's very disputed, though, Kit, to be fair. The demilitarised zone is very much... It gets a bit spicy every now and again. They blew up a building last week, for crying out loud.
You said that like he's rocking up to training now, just with, like, with a bit of paint on his face. Or something like, what's that? Oh, this? Oh, just a bit of army stuff. Don't worry about that.
Manoeuvres at the weekend with the lads.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, they're watching a film, and he's like, yeah, that's what I'd do. If I was up there, actually, that's how we get down.
Lloris and Son kind of sounds like a really bad Pixar kind of little number, doesn't it? It wouldn't even be Pixar, it'd be like DreamWorks. It'd be a Shark's Tale. Like a slow Lloris and his son kind of looking after each other. One's John the Army, one's an angry dad who doesn't understand his son. Oh, it's fantastic.
Speaking of Pixar, did you buy that hug at the end? Because that felt very kind of orchestrated for the cameras, yeah.
Wasn't it? Of course it was.
Well,
so, yeah.
Well, then in that case, are we suggesting that the entire affair was orchestrated for the cameras? So it had everything. It had the start, it had the questionable motivation, it was all in front of everyone. Well, while they were going down the tunnel,
well,
nothing actually happened in the dressing room.
No,
everyone was just like, ha ha, part of the banter
and scene.
And then they came out again. Oh, we're friends.
That would be very Jose Mourinho tactics to employ.
Don't call him that. You're going to get pelters again.
Oh yeah, what am I supposed to call
it? It's a hard J on a Portuguese name.
There was a hour long documentary on my old radio station about David Bowie. From that somebody did, and every single, he said, I'm the biggest fan of David Bowie, but he wasn't saying Bowie, he was saying Bowie. And so everyone would get very, for an whole hour, this man who professed to be the biggest David Bowie fan was saying David Bowie.
Is this not a Rowling Rowling situation?
No, I think it's definitely one or t'other. That's why it's confusing that you called his son Zowie
Bowie.
Zowie Bowie. It doesn't make any sense. It was Zowie Bowie.
Could it
sense.
Be, so like where I'm from in Northamptonshire, there is a river Neen on the side of the county that I'm from.
Right.
But if you're from the other side of the county, you call it the River Nen. Could it be that kind of situation?
I think, is it East Midlands, Northampton? I think East Midlands, like there's a street in Leicester called, it's spelled Belvoir, but they call it Beaver Street. I don't think they've got a handle on how to pronounce anything in the East Midlands, to be quite frank. But yeah.
Fair dues, yeah. So Jose, I would quite like the idea that Jose would employ kind of really cringy reality TV tactics. Yeah. Just to like, right, just have a bit of niggle there. Get the viewers in.
Yeah.
And we'll make up for it at the end.
It's distracted from the performance of his football team. I know that much. It served him very well.
Well, I mean, I don't think they were... They obviously did enough to win the game because they won the game, but I didn't think it was that. Maybe it was on reflection as I drove home, but I thought if they knew they could outscrap Everton, which they did, they did it perfectly, really. I was quite surprised. Like, you know, Kate, you watched the game as a Spurs fan, but I was quite surprised that in the first place that they decided to turn it into a bit of a dogfight. But, you know, they did win, and they... I don't know. We're not going to suddenly have a revelation that Mourinho is this kind of... suddenly, you know, rekindled tactical genius in this weird little period where we're playing, you know, a game every other day. So getting the points, you know, are you satisfied by that?
me personally?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I try to be the eternal optimist, as I guess many football fans have to be throughout their lives. apart from if you're a Manchester United fan during that glorious period, I can't imagine what that must have felt like.
No, I mean, I don't think we need to talk about that, do we? That's what dig up old memories.
Most football fans' experience of football is weighted towards the painful, I would say.
Yeah.
So you have to have this ability to think, perhaps it is going to get better.
Yeah.
Even though, as I did, I chatted to Marcus Speller, rather than Rashford, the other day for a Patreon thing.
Mm.
And, sign up to the Patreon, everybody.
Patreon.com/footballrambledaily. Is that right? Yeah. Yes, we're right.
Great work.
If you ain't going to edit stuff out, I'm going to just use them as a resource. All right?
Line.
A little bit mean. That's quite meta. I like this kind of meta podcast thing.
For the early adopters of the podcast yesterday, it's fine. Look, let's have some fun with it. Let's roll with it. Come on.
Yes. I enjoyed it enormously. Anyway, yes, as I was saying to Marcus on there, you know, it was such a glorious time when Pochettino was the boss of Spurs because you felt as though you could kind of identify with the club. It felt like it was somewhere it was a club going somewhere, you know, whereas it's more difficult to identify perhaps at this stage of Jose Mourinho's career with Jose Mourinho. But you have to keep believing, or with the idea that he's going to take you somewhere and that he's going to become modern, as you're saying.
Yeah.
But you have to hold on to the belief that it could happen and this could be a kind of Porto rebooted.
But then you see someone in Giovanni Lo Celso being given time and, I suppose, the space to grow into the player that he's become, and everything seems that a little bit warmer, doesn't it? Like he was a real bright spark yesterday for everyone. He gave me hope that I would see it out the game alive. But also he's such a good player to watch, even in a scrappy game like yesterday. So he played as a number 10. I'm not tactically refined, but basically just off the front man, he's the furthest forward of their three midfielders, and he made the most tackles in the game. And I think that's kind of indicative of his performance. He's the kind of person who just does it all. Like he would tackle someone and then give them shit. Like he was just constantly in their ear, just giving a bit of niggle. And then there were other times where he'd get the ball on the edge of his box and Everton would be, you know, crowding him in blue shirts. And he'd either get out of that situation perfectly and kind of lead another attack, or he'd just take the foul at exactly the right time. Mason Holgate took him out, and Mason Holgate had to be substituted because he was hurt. You know, that's the level that we're dealing with here.
His decision making is very good, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And Holgate had to do that, right? It was literally, that was the last moment he had to foul him. It was coming into the penalty area. And it was like, right, I've got to do this.
He's got to be really annoying to play against because he looks, you know, similar stature to Harry Winks. But there's clearly, like, he's got a greater density, isn't he? He's a boy who's drunk his milk.
he's had a Guinness.
Yeah,
where your granddad sits down and have a Guinness every Saturday. of it. Yeah. It makes you strong. And
well, it's like
drunk.
It's like a full meal. It's not granddad.
It was supposed. That's why grandma left you.
It was supposed. It was given to pregnant women back in the day.
It was, yeah, iron.
You know, to help you with your iron. So
that'd be all right.
All
come on,
bring it back.
I called Lo Celso an absolute spunk on the WhatsApp group, a term that Kate was not across. Let's make that very clear. Because, Kate, you'd never watch any Neighbours back in the 80s.
Let me be clear.
Can I interject here? Because I know I apologise for saying it outside, but I should say it while we're on the record. Mm. But you're a famous not-knower of things, aren't you?
That's a brand. I didn't know the brands, but Kate is not up on pop culture. Vish, you've got a bad car, apparently.
Yeah, I've got a Honda Jazz, which is actually a fine car. If the makers of Honda Jazz are listening, yeah. Well, Honda. Thank you.
Do you want a free?
I don't want another one because I didn't know where to put it. But thank you for the jazz.
And talk to us about your brand, Pete Donaldson.
My brand is chewing gum Black that I bought from the Japan Centre in Piccadilly earlier on this week. So yeah, that's very much who I'm sponsored by.
It's okay. Yeah, you don't know anything, so.
We should never make him a performance.
Straight in.
Okay, you don't know anything. I thought, whoa, this is going to be a spicy one, isn't it? Brilliant.
Well, I listened to the Friday show where...
Oh, Jesus. Can we not bring up the Friday show?
Well, no, because it was great, because obviously it was after the Spurs defeat, and you did what I could... As host of the show, you did what could only be described as filibustering.
It was, yes.
And I wondered, coming into this, if you do that as well. And obviously, it wasn't a great game, but you won. You're
such a relief. Because you can only do it once, really. Or maybe once a month, I was thinking. Once every 2 weeks?
There was the woman in Congress who did it where she wore a back brace and she filibustered for like 23 hours or something like that.
I mean, the idea that... I mean, that was obviously part of our congressional and political landscape back in Benjamin Disraeli's time. Yeah. But... Why that even exists in 2020, that people feel a need to just fill their time so nothing can get done, is wonderfully... It's not even passive-aggressive, is it, Vish? I mean, the idea that filibustering exists as a political tool in 2020.
It's like in FIFA 94, where you could run away from the referee when he was about to card you. That was it, wasn't it? Yes. Just leg it.
I could do this all day.
I'm laughing like I know what that is. Speaking of which... What about Everton then? Mm. There's a lovely little Miguel Delaney piece, colleague of yours, I feel like, Vish.
Yes. Yeah.
It was. I think it was from the start of the year, though, where he was talking about how Carlo Ancelotti has actually underperformed domestically, despite, you know, European silverware that he has access to and has provided access to.
Are you saying he's a cup manager?
He said it's fairly stark after 19 seasons at the biggest and wealthiest clubs in Europe. They've only yielded 4 league titles, and 2 of those at PSG and Bayern Munich. So when Carlo Ancelotti went to Everton, part of me thought, actually, wouldn't have minded seeing him at Tottenham. What do you think of him as someone who can make Everton great again?
I mean, he's dressed like... I said that he was dressed like the dad from Get Out. That's all I've got on that particular situation. But I think now, I think with Ancelotti, he likes big players and he understands big personalities. Has he got that at Everton? I'd probably say not. They've got expensive players and they've got a lot of them, but I don't think there's any big personalities. I mean, last night you had Alex Iwobi's facial disgust at... shouldn't have paused there. Alex Iwobi's facial disgust at his goalkeeper's work a couple of times, which I enjoyed immensely. So I could see that kind of turning a little bit and the team kind of folding in on itself. But I mean, who knows? He may not even be there next season because it's been a very underwhelming return, I think, in many ways. Fish.
I think it takes a lot of self-awareness for someone like Ancelotti with 3 European Cups and kind of his CV to take the Everton job, because he obviously appreciates a lot of what Miguel laid out in his article, that he's not quite a spent force, but certainly he's on the way. And certainly the impression was that, kind of even a little bit at Bayern Munich, that modern football had passed him by. Mm. And I think he came to that realisation, because why else? He could have held out for a better job. He could have, you know... In a different world, he gets that Spurs job, or he just makes a shitload of money elsewhere, doesn't he? You know, there's not like there are avenues for him to go down to enjoy the rest of his career and kind of be pretty satisfied when he puts his medals on the table and thinks, you know, I've had a good run at this.
Yeah, European or domestic.
yeah. So he clearly has ambition still within the game, and he clearly believes that Everton are a club that can at least... that he can mould not just in a tactical sense, but they seem to revere him quite a lot as well, because, you know, he's an incredibly famous manager. I'm not going to lie, I sat there and I thought,
wow,
fuck yeah, I've, you know, Carlo Ancelotti is, you know, I was going to say I could throw something at him. I would never throw something at a manager.
Got to stop throwing things at people.
Yeah. But you know, he is a name. That game yesterday was played out between two managers with five European Cups between them, which is kind of mad, because I think before play it was 10th versus 11th.
And if you consider, so the last, I sat there at the beginning and I thought, wow, the last time they met was 10 years ago. Mourinho would have been at Inter Milan, Ancelotti at Chelsea. And it was in the Champions League, and it was, if I remember it, which is a bit sketchy after, you know, 10 years, but it was a mad old game. It was hectic. Of course, there were people in the stands. Unusual for football these days. But, you know, it was a proper meeting of two titans, and to see that last night.
Well, I mean, come on, guys. I mean, are we forgetting that, like, Spurs have been involved in Champions League finals recently?
Yes, we are not forgetting that.
Because I haven't.
I don't think Kate's forgotten. Yeah.
Man United fan and a Spurs fan looking all down in the mouth. Shut up, obvious.
I will never forget. Oh, your time is on the way, mate. You need to get on that Saudi bus. Four games in 10 days for Tottenham, of course, coming up Sunday, first North London derby at the new stadium. Everton have got Southampton next. Ooh,
yeah,
tricky old Southampton off the back of that 1-0 against Man City. And then Wolves on Sunday. And speaking of people whose time looked to have passed them by, can we just have a little glance over at Jack Rodwell?
I thought you were looking at Peter.
So I bleached my hair to get away from those accusations, quite frankly.
Oh, I thought that was grey.
Well, you know, it can only be hiding a multitude of sins, I would argue.
Looking lovely. Old Rodders, how do we feel about seeing him back? Those glorious 15 minutes on Sunday. We just wanted to take a little glance at those as he sauntered onto the pitch for Chris Wilder, replacing Chris Basham.
Every time I'm on the Football Ramble lately, it's like a true crime documentary. It's like, Joe Hart, what happened to him? Have we checked the mobile phone tower pings? Is he... Do we need a call to the state penitentiary? What happened to Joe Hart? What happened to Jack Rodwell? He said, I think Sunderland have got a very good record of, like, mismanaging their own finances, overpaying players, getting relegated, and then blaming those same players who stuck around when they could have just left. They couldn't get a price for him. I think, where was he going to go?
Roma.
And it's not his fault that he wants to hang around and play for his players. I think taking him on, because he was just kind of training with Sheffield United, wasn't he, at one point when that move fell through. So he's a defensively minded player who's played in midfield. I think it's a decent little move. It's a decent little player to have in your back pocket.
I feel a little bit sorry for him, actually, because, you know, we obviously during lockdown we've kind of hammered Netflix, so we've kind of everyone now more so than ever really attuned to those Netflix villains, like you know,
Sunderland,
Carol Baskin, but Sunderland, yeah. and Jack Rodwell,
yeah,
is the football villain, isn't he? He's the reality star villain that we kind of used to just having an opinion about through nothing beyond, you know, a few bits of camera time in a documentary. Like, he maybe said like three lines in the whole documentary and everything about him was, you know, I suppose bestowed on him by people who clearly don't know how to run a football club.
Yeah.
And yet, because we see them more than we see him, we're like, well, take this at face value. He's clearly evil. He wants the Tigers. He definitely killed her and he's going to pay. But I do feel a little bit sorry for him. Oh, he obviously didn't come across great when he was on screen in that Sunderland documentary, but I don't know. It's kind of nice to see him back. I like the idea, though, if he's going to perpetuate this kind of image of evilness, that, like, he'll do something nefarious at Sheffield United.
What's he going to do? What would you choose? Let's not forget, by the way, England under 18 skipper.
Well, he had a huge career. I mean, he signed for Man City.
Yeah. You know, I'm not saying that was the peak, but, you know, still. Like, he's obviously a man who can lead people.
Guys, he owns a car and it's not Honda Jazz.
What? I think it... Are you dissing Honda again?
I don't know. I love Honda and all of our potential advertisees.
Jazz music, if you're listening.
Jazz music, if you're listening, call me. Honk me.
Well, he is... So we're all glad to see him back, basically, and we're hoping for nefarious plans.
Yeah, I don't know what that'd be. Like, I don't, you know, happy slap Chris Wilder.
Well, he's out of contract on the 1st of August this year, so perhaps one for David Moyes to pick up. Is it Everton?
It's absolutely a Moyes signing, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
He was at Everton, of course, or left Everton when Moyesy was in charge there. Mm. So perhaps we could look forward to seeing him at the London Stadium.
Rodwell and Jack Wilshere. What could have
together
been?
Together at last. Oh. Nuts and gum.
While we muse on that, let's go to a break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Join me, Pete Donaldson, and Japan-based YouTuber Chris Broad every Wednesday as we offer the lowdown on what's happening in one of the most unique and exciting countries in the world. The Abroad in Japan podcast is home to all things Japan, from things to do...
So today we've come to you guys with 12 places in Japan that nobody knows about.
...to the bizarre...
When I moved into my new apartment last year, the police guy came to my door, knocked on my door, I opened it, it was a policeman, and he said to me, in English, I am Japanese policeman. And I went, that's the best introduction you could possibly do as a Japanese policeman.
To the downright filthy.
And for those of you that don't know what a tenga is, Pete and I did discuss how to describe it best before doing the podcast, and I'll let Pete describe what a tenga is. What is it, Pete?
It's a solo male silicon-based onanist's aid, so to speak.
Brilliant.
New episodes every single Wednesday. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Abroad in Japan is a Stakhanov production.
All right, thanks for sticking with us on the ramble.
We weren't sticking with you during that break, Kate, because we've had a conversation about Train, the band Train that you were singing along to Drops of Jupiter.
It's my vocal warm-up before the football ramble. You've got to be in good voice, haven't you, before you deliver the...
Yeah.
It's quite a high
Train would help.
Say again?
Train would help, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Although, isn't it about kind of stretching your voice? So shouldn't you be doing like Macy Gray? Because she was quite like...
She's gravelly, though. She was gravelly. She would, like, that would tear. That's a polyp waiting to happen.
Yeah.
You've got to go low. You've got to go low with a bit of Barry White, and high with a bit of... I'm trying to think of something.
Nina Simone.
Nina Simone, yeah. Who's the one who does Love It You? That one.
I don't know why you're asking me.
That singer. Easy cause you're beautiful.
I know the beat you mean.
Minnie Riperton.
Yeah.
Do a bit of Minnie Riperton. So there you go. A little bit of advice for the car, for the vocal warm-ups. Also, we were talking in the break about FIFA. FIFA 21's got a release date. Kate reckons, and this is a monumental shout, the sort of shout you'd be able to see from space, she reckons she's never played a FIFA.
I'm a bit concerned that that is now I've said it, I'm a bit concerned that that's not true.
You're going to get caught with like a paparazzi shot from FIFA 16 launch where you got given a free PS4.
They'll go through your old tweet.
Yeah, really enjoying this at EA Sports FIFA game. Outrageous.
Yeah, no, I'm more a football manager kind of person.
Right,
but,
okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that I've never played FIFA.
So you're not even excited about... I mean, FIFA in many ways is just a rebadge every year, isn't it? They introduce like little elements that every now and again, but like, so you're not even excited about the new things that might be arriving and how COVID-19 may even have changed how the new FIFA is going to be presented?
I've been looking at the previous elements of FIFA 20.
Right, okay.
you said that like a lawyer. Well, it's interesting you say that because I've been going through the previous elements of FIFA 20.
Case for the prosecution, FIFA 21.
And apparently the ball flight is much cleaner than it's ever been before.
There was a few times I was playing FIFA 20, I thought, this ball flight is filthy.
It whips. Yeah. It really does whip. I'd really like to see in the new one, like the plastic cardboard cutouts of the people that they've put in the crowd.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be much easier to do than an actual crowd, putting it into a game, truly.
Maybe it's me being a bit psychotic, but when I saw those boards of supporters, I kind of went back to like a... Do you remember Get Your Own Back?
Yes.
Or do you know, like, just at any fairground?
It's like a Gunge kind of show.
Yeah, but you know, any fairground where you've got like knock over or like break the board.
What is that Gunge thing, by the way? Sorry to interrupt you.
Gunge.
Yeah.
Cornflour and green syrup on it.
Okay, but it's a real, it's like a, I don't know if I want to say this, but it's like a sort of fetish. People.
Oh, yes.
Oh, it is.
People,
yeah,
people
yeah,
constantly yeah. message Sky Sports presenters being like, we get Gunged.
Sorry, what?
Yeah. So anytime you put up a photo. Yeah, anytime you put up a photo on Instagram.
Even the old man with the yellow tie.
Just
him
the
as
girls.
Well.
Just the girls. Right. Not Jim White. Or maybe Jim White.
Jim,
I don't
Jim
know.
White. But yeah, I want to Gunge Jim White's yellow tie. Oh, look, we are under no illusion that women in the media have an awful time, but also the strangest time, because the fetishes that are uncovered when women are on Sky Sports are, I know a few presenters myself, and the things they get sent...
It's extraordinary.
Extraordinary. People are into everything and stuff you wouldn't even know existed. But the Gunge thing is, yeah, it's strange. But I don't think Dave Benson Phillips was a Gunge fetishist on Get Your Own Back.
Well, we don't know, do we?
Well, no, maybe that's why he got into
it,
yeah. I can only say. But we can say that there's no Gunge in FIFA 21.
No.
on Jim White's tie or otherwise.
How would coronavirus manifest itself? Because obviously in Football Manager, they incorporated Brexit, didn't they?
Yes.
Which then affected the gameplay and how you sign players. Yeah, I wonder, you could have like, I don't know, Carl Walker sex parties. Or that would be something you would have to overcome.
Yes, say. in the kind of like narrative, maybe like a mystery sort of Hong Kong based RPG element where you got to figure out what the fuck is going on with Wigan. It's like
maybe that's the new, you know, what was the boy's name? You know, you played it that like kind of Marcus Rashford alike.
Yes, yeah, it was the journey, wasn't it?
Yeah, the journey. Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe that's it. Maybe the lockdown.
The lockdown.
Maybe that's what it is.
Kind of navigating.
And then like
that.
Suddenly you're just like chilling at home, and then you get a knock on the door, and it's Mourinho because he wants to take you out for a run.
Yes,
like he did with Ndombele.
Or
so
he's
much.
Like going down to the, because he did that little query PR piece where he went down to help, you know, feed the aged or
yes.
something.
So yes,
perhaps he'd be like, right, you're going to be 1 meter too close to these people.
Yes.
Do you do it for the good PR factor, or do you say, no, I've got to conform to, you know, quarantine laws?
I enjoyed the phrase feed the aged. that modern charity, feed the aged. Nutrient the aged. I'd like to see Gareth Ainsworth's leather jacket. Obviously, we saw it in full flow last night alongside Joey Barton's glasses. I would very much like Joey Barton's Deidre Specs to be some kind of DLC, kind of extra added content you could put in a FIFA a little bit later on down the line. But
some child using his dad's credit card to pay 50 quid for Gareth Ainsworth's cool video game.
Cool hair and cool dad jacket. Very enjoyable.
We're in full Joey Barton tribute, aren't we, the three of us today? Three
all
glasses.
Wearing specs.
Yeah.
Classy glasses.
Yeah, I mean, we actually need ours, don't we?
Yeah. Does Joey Barton need his?
I don't know. There must be vanity.
Do you reckon they're like a bit Urban Outfitters?
Yeah, I think he's like, well, I've, you know, I've I can't really tweet about the Smiths anymore because he's gone off the wall. So I'll just have to wear glasses now.
He's mastered Latin, so...
Yeah. I had to do Latin at school. So why am I revealing this? I had to do Latin at school, yeah.
Don't worry, we've all been there.
Grim.
Am I in a room with two Latin speakers?
No, Latin.
And the man who can barely speak English,
not Latin
me.
Latin speakers. I would say I was a Latin... I'm a Latin apologist.
Okay.
I am, yeah. It was...
Yeah, well, you do Latin declamation, obviously.
Declamation?
What's that?
What's that?
Just declaim it. And then they judge. Okay. Right.
We're back in the courtroom again. Did you see the Oxford Portsmouth? Oh, actually, you wouldn't have done because you were at the world's dullest football match.
Did
you see the penalty shootout?
Decent.
But it was a set of excellent penalties apart from one. But before the very first penalty was taken, somebody, and I swear somebody shouted the word shit, but it was the most muscular shit I have ever heard in a football context or setting. It was all wonderful.
You know the way that people try and put penalty takers off, and often it's by shouting stuff or by waving. Obviously, there's been a few occasions where a man has got his genitalia out to... That would be even more profound if one of the cardboard cutouts behind the goal covertly was someone who was doing one of those things.
Well, did you see in that Mexican game, you know, they had similar to how we've got in the Premier League, you can have a little video cam of the fans watching on.
A man in full bloom, wasn't he?
It was just a penis.
Just a penis.
Okay.
It was like chat roulette, basically.
It was a chat roulette. Dear me. But right the way through the shootout, what I enjoyed was Carl Robinson, the Oxford manager. He looked like he just dropped all of his ice creams. He looked so dejected. And Oxford won the bloody thing, which
was weird,
insane.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
So, I'm sure Luke, next time he's on the football ramble, he's going to very much enjoy his return because his team is staying where they are.
That's got to be a horrible way to, you know, we talked about it before with, you know, Northampton Town and the way they secured promotion. I'm still trying to square it in my head if you'd rather not be at a game where your team lose in that manner, where it's so demoralising, if that takes the edge of it and makes it feel less real. But for it to go to a penalty shoot, it just makes it that little bit realer. And I do feel, are we allowed to feel sorry for Luke? Is that a thing?
He got his Wembley time last year, so him not being allowed back into Wembley the way that the Portsmouth fans kind of behaved, I think that's fair.
Cameron McGeehan's penalty upset him, I think it's fair to say. I mean, it upset me, to be honest. He looked like a little crouching, some sort of crouching insect. Like one of
you know insects. You've met insects before, haven't you?
Yeah. What is the green? Grasshopper, yeah. He looked like a little grasshopper and about... A minute before he took it, you could tell exactly where it was going and that it was not going in.
I really couldn't. Oh, that's what everyone was saying on the WhatsApp. And I'm like, I don't think I could. That's the worrying thing. I just wouldn't make a good keeper. That's the problem.
I thought you were a goalkeeper.
I do play a little bit in golf, but that's why I'm not a very good goalkeeper.
Right. He didn't say he was a good goalkeeper.
That's true.
He's not making any claims to be a good goalkeeper.
No one wants to be a goalkeeper. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so we've decided that we sorry for Luke. Sorry, Luke.
Sorry, Luke.
But anyway, Oxford go through. Wickham 2-2 up against Fleetwood. That means they win 6-3 on aggregate. Mm. And they're going to play Oxford United next Monday at a lovely empty Wembley. I really hope that they have... I really like how with the cardboard cutouts, you know, some people have put their dog on there, but it's still shaped like a human.
Oh,
I quite enjoy
lovely.
That.
Yeah.
I like it if they kind of went the whole hog and they had the cardboard cutouts at Wembley, but they're all corporates. Yes. And they kind of took them away at half time and put them back an
they
hour into the game.
Really lit. Yeah. People leaving in the match to beat that Wembley traffic. Fantastic.
Yes. Now, other games that are coming up tonight, in fact, a triple header of delight from the Premier League. Let's talk about Watford against Norwich City, shall we? 6 o'clock kickoff, Vicarage Road. Watford, just the single point above the relegation zone. And I guess tonight is the night when we find out how bad Norwich really are.
Yeah, finally we'll have an answer to that question. How bad are the team bottom of the table who've scored the least number of goals this season?
People are saying that they're realistically down, which is how I would explain depression to my granddad. I'm all right, but I am realistically in the real world down. And he's going, I don't understand it. I'm going, that's how the world works.
So we're not still going out. We are. So, well, not really. No, no.
We know each other. I have broken a heart.
I am seeing other people. Yeah, no, it's weird because I kind of it means more to Watford to be playing Norwich than it does Norwich to be playing Watford. You know, Watford have the chance to pick up some valuable 3 points here, and I think it's assumed that they will because Norwich look pretty dejected. I mean, Todd Cantwell, who I'm a huge fan of, to see him so sad as he was in the game against Brighton was that kind of really hammered home actually that from top to bottom at Norwich, I think they've been. They've known this was coming for a while, but I think it's really hit home on them, the kind of the emotional toil of being battered every other week and then, you know, not in the Liverpool sense, but actually being, you know, beaten quite severely on the field. But then, then just realising that what was supposed to be a great moment for them being promoted to the Premier League ahead of schedule is going to come crashing down in a pretty demoralising and kind of unsympathetic way.
Yeah, Cantwell as well. He's out with a hamstring injury. Alex Tetti, Kenny McLean, doubtful. I mean, they've got a lot of injuries in addition to being quite bad at football.
Which doesn't help, does it? Does not help. If the ones who are already bad at football are hurt.
Would you see Cantwell at another Premier League club next season? Would someone come in for him with some big cash?
Where do you think... But, like, where would you play a Cantwell? Mm. If you think about the clubs that are going to be interested in him, let's... You know, it wouldn't be rude to say that they'd be the bottom half of the table. Would they have place for someone who is a bit flashy, isn't necessarily the kind of player who's going to, like, dig in and fight for you? Not that he doesn't work hard, but...
It reeks of a Leicester or Everton signing for me. I know they're top half.
And that would be quite a gamble.
No, not anymore.
Well, not anymore. Okay.
But, like, you know, the reason he was able to... sustain the role that he has at Norwich is that he came through the academy and they're used to having him and they've played in a way that incorporates his gifts, and to kind of pluck him out and put him into another team might not, they, you know, people might not necessarily come in for them. And with that in mind, Norwich could be the beneficiaries of this because they could have him for a season where they look to get promoted straight back up again. And they've got, you know, they've got some really good young players. I don't know if Max Aarons is going to play. It sounds like Spurs are quite keen on him to replace Serge Aurier. And, you know, he's obviously...
Why would you want to replace Serge Aurier?
He's... I know, sorry, we've already talked about this game, but
that was an eyebrow.
He's like he's an independent clown in a game in that, like, he doesn't necessarily play for Spurs, but he's on their team sheet.
He's there.
And he kind of does what he wants. And sometimes he's brilliant and you're like, God, I can understand why this guy's played for PSG. And sometimes you're like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this?
You need like a little clicker, like a little puppy click. Over here. Eyes on the match, please. Thank you.
That's not actually a terrible idea. Let's go back to Watford. I had forgotten, actually, that when Nigel Pearson took charge, they were 6 points from safety and obviously bottom. So, you know, they're out of form probably, but... They could put in a performance and use this opportunity to trash Norwich. Could be a nice day out for them.
Yeah, I mean, I think they've not been... Well, they haven't won a game, have they, since coming back? But I think they've got to look at this and really kind of set their stall out. They've got the players to attack Norwich and they've got the players to bully Norwich as well. So I think they can really just have to go hard at them. And
it's a home banker, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I hate to be so dismissive of another... team in the Premier League, but I think Norwich are so done that Watford should absolutely take the 3 points tonight.
Yeah. Also at 6 o'clock, it is Palace hosting Chelsea. Now, Crystal Palace, got to point out that they're not actually arithmetically safe.
Oh. it's a big shout, isn't it? What are they, 42 points or
whatever? Yeah, so if, let's say, Villa were to take all 15 points from the last five games of the season, and I can see Palace not winning another game this season or not taking another point.
Sure, but the thing with that is, like, it's always to assume competency on those who are worse than that team.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not putting forward that this is an actual theory of what is going to happen, but I suppose the point I'm making is, what are they playing for?
There's a lot of mid-table teams. I might include my own in that.
You'd say you're mid-table, would you?
We'll probably end up.
12's mid-table.
End up there. And I think there are a lot of teams below that are making the teams above look very, very good. But their score draw at Man City, Crystal Palace, the Etihad, seems like a long time ago. A long, long time. I mean, it is a long time ago. It was January, but...
They had a pretty good start to the season, to be honest, Crystal Palace. So, yeah, it's just that they've got, obviously, up against Chelsea. Chelsea not doing so great in the last couple of games either, but...
There will be goals. Palace ship a lot of goals.
There'll be goals. But then after that, they play Palace, this is, play Villa, Manchester United, Wolves and Tottenham on the last day of the season. Okay, so we're not backing them to go down. Good news. And the last one tonight is Arsenal up against Leicester. That is the 8:15 kickoff at the Emirates. We've heard a fair bit about Arsenal in the last 2 days. Tonight, Arsenal-Leicester, what would you go?
I don't know. I think it'd be quite a free-flowing game. This could potentially be...
Because it could actually be quite good. Because I thought Arsenal-Wolves was going to be... Wolves-Arsenal was going to be pretty turgid, but it wasn't.
Arsenal looked to be onto something here, and I think maybe that's just looking at Arteta, looking at him generally. But kind of when someone speaks with authority and when they're decisive when it comes to contracts, and in the case of Matteo Guendouzi when he's disciplining players, you believe in them a bit more. And I think the same goes for the players, not just for us from the outside or indeed Arsenal fans. And it does seem to be something brewing there. He does seem to have got them kind of moving forward in the right direction, which would be really tough in a period where the consensus is let's just get through what we have to get through. So with that in mind, I think this could be really interesting. Brendan Rodgers, I think I don't think one win suddenly flicks everything around and everything's back to normal. I think he needs a proper response from these players. And this has always been the type of game that Leicester have done really well in, you know, traditionally since they've been in the Premier League for this particular term. So... yeah, and Vardy seems to love kind of a bit of niggle against Leicester. I think this could actually go some way for Arsenal to send a message against other teams to say that they're kind of, they want to stop being bullied, because Leicester are the type of team that have bullied them before.
Mm.
Do you think that's the message they'll send, Pete?
Yeah, well, I completely agree with this, to be honest, but I think
that's always sensible.
The Arsenal re-up, as I would call it inaccurately, is very much kind of, as Brassel characterised it, I think, on the Ramble yesterday, that they always kind of find this little bit of form. It's very Wenger-esque, this kind of like papering over the cracks, like with a strong finish to the season, but there's never any kind of momentum. But if they can kick on next season and play like they played in the last few home games, I think it's I think I'd like to see that Arsenal side, to be honest, because I'm kind of bored of the conversation that Arsenal have gone off the boil when they've got such riches and such excellent forward players. I'd like to see him do something. I would like to see him do something, because I'm a secret Arsenal fan and I love the Emirates. Lovely place to watch football.
Whoa, what?
It is a lovely place to watch football. It's stunning.
If you like your football really quiet and corporate,
well, you know. Yeah, I do.
It is quite nice. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I still live in Holyhead Road. It's fine. Yeah.
Could you just keep it down there? No, yeah, sorry. Sorry.
Sorry, mate. Yeah.
It's a nice ground to watch football.
Ground. It's a lovely ground to watch
football. Well, it's got a nice little media setup, I'll give it that.
No. It's like every seat.
No.
I don't buy into this, like, when you go to a football game, you've got to be uncomfortable, because that's the best way to watch football. Every seat is a good seat at the Emirates. Yeah. I think there's a lot to be said for it. Yes, it might cost you a grand, but you get what you pay for, don't you?
You don't get your
get a nice seat.
As the owner of a Honda Jazz, would you say that?
What's the fuel economy of Arsenal Football Club?
The thing about the Honda Jazz...
Oh, God.
Not my words.
We've had to top the magazine, Lynn.
Long live the Honda Jazz. It's a nice car. It's a go-kart. You know, I'm not a flashy man. I don't like flashy things. I wear flashy jumpers and that's about it.
Mm.
I was going to say, says the man in an orange sweatshirt.
Yeah.
Are you secretly buff? Are you buff? Because I've only seen you twice, and I think you were wearing a jumper both times. I think you might be buff.
Take your top off.
No. So I would say I was in like fairly decent shape when I went into lockdown, and then daily drinking and eating, and
humans need that.
Yeah, but not to this excess. Not one human. But also, like, I'm get into bad habits really quickly, and this is the epitome of it. I somehow managed to take up smoking during lockdown.
Oh, okay. No,
because I'm a casual smoker when I drink, and then because I kept drinking, I was like, well, you know what goes really well with this?
It just sounds like you've gone through the route of the 80s football journalist. So look, you're well on the way to becoming the head of a press room. Press room? Is that the way they call it?
Yeah, I've just started reading into racism as well. So that's hopefully be another string to my bow.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, no, I'm a fat mess.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
I just thought I'd get it. I don't know. I've seen Vish twice in my life, so.
Are you buff, Pete?
No. God, no.
All right.
We all wear glasses, though.
Are you buff?
Are you buff?
I am actually quite buff, yeah.
She snapped every pair of headphones we've given her.
You have quite big hands, don't you? Maybe that's...
So Voivish, do you want to start anything else in it?
That's why she doesn't
I don't know anything. I've got giant hands and
that's why she doesn't
social
play FIFA.
Distancing, social.
Yeah. Can't find a controller. But, you know.
Yes, he's one of those big pianos from Big, just slapping the floor.
It's big hands.
She hasn't got big hands.
Right, Vish, thank you for a lovely time on the football ramble. This was the fun bus, whatever you called it. Say goodbye.
Fun table. Goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone.
Don't forget to listen tomorrow as well. Jules, Jim and...
me.
Yes. We'll be back soon. Bye, guys.
Bye.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.